Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, keep praying. I don't want to get superstitious or anything, but things are going well.
Hallelujah.
It just this man is who Doc had mentioned to me, and I'm glad he did. He's a great guy. He got all fives, and the comments people make about him are true. Compassionate person, but after the stem cell took place on the 16th, I thought he said 8, but now it's down to 6, but now it's down to 4 because I already did 2 past the 16th, something like that. But after travel, and I don't mind it, it's an hour ride, but it's for laser therapy. Takes about 5 minutes. Then the cryotherapy, which I'm up to 3 minutes now. And that's 235 degrees below zero. I think this woman cranked this up like 4 a.m. because I went down on Friday for 8:30 appointment. And when she opened up the door, like the fog came out. I felt like I was at the Arctic in an igloo. But I didn't have the fur on. It's cold. It's cold. It seems like it's a long time, but it's not real long. But you know what? It's beneficial. Didn't see anybody this week. Last week we saw Cam Hay. Oh, I shouldn't say that. He probably maybe doesn't want anybody to know what he's getting worked on. Anyway, we're going to talk about Pentecost today. And in Israel, they had 3 major feasts. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll go through each and every one of them. Now, you got to understand, when these feasts took place, all the Jewish people went into the, it wasn't like a carnival. They haven't caught candy there. But they ate.
Oh, yeah.
They ate. But they didn't go up or by SUV either. They walked. Some had donkeys. Some had camels. Maybe some had horses, but anyway, they all gathered together, and they look forward to those times. Look at the Feast of Passover. This is Israel's deliverance from Egypt, which is a central point in Jewish history. Wouldn't you believe that? It's a central point not only in Jewish history, but in Jewish worship, just as Calvary is a central point for the Christians and our worship. You see that? Passover, Calvary. For on the work of Calvary, the redemption was done legally for all mankind. Now, all we had to do, once the gospel was presented to you and me, was receive it. Do you know what sin will keep you out of heaven? What sin will keep you out of heaven? Not receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what it's all about. Everything else he took at the cross. Now some people say, well, your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. If I miss it, and I do, just like all of us do, I ask God to forgive me. Because it'll stifle my fellowship, not necessarily my relationship. But if you let that go on long enough, who knows, it could affect your relationship. I don't want to take any chances, right? Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because Christ is our Passover. I told Bert, maybe I forgot how to do this. Page 1435 in your King James Holy Bible edition. I do write the numbers down. I memorized the Bibles for some Bible colleges. Didn't do me any good just to memorize them. You have to memorize the word, right? Not just the order they're in. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So I'll repeat myself. Three times a year were the Israelites commanded to appear before God in the holy temple in Jerusalem. And it is a good occasion. It was the Passover, which we already mentioned, celebrating deliverance from Egypt and symbolized by the eating of unleavened bread and the offering of the Passover lamb. The second occasion was Pentecost, or Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks. So when I'm saying Pentecost, I'm saying the Feast of Weeks, okay? This was typified by the offering of two two loaves of bread. Just keep in mind two loaves, because we're coming back to something under the new covenant, which that'll have significance, okay? And then we had the Feast of Tabernacles, symbolized by the booths. Back then, you had had a booth then. Commemorating Israel's wandering through the wilderness and final outcome into the land of promise. The word Pentecost, Bob, in the Greek simply means 50. It was so designated because it was 50th day after the Passover Sabbath, or the seventh Sunday after Easter Day. So that's where they get that. Now, let's go back to Leviticus now. You ready for Leviticus? How many read Leviticus this past week? How many can pronounce Leviticus? It's a good book. It's about worship. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start with verse 15 through 17. And we shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves, there that is again, of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven, for they are the first fruits unto the Lord. A lot easier reading this in the New King James Version and NLT, New Living Translation. Probably easier in the, but I figured I want to get tongue-tied today, so. Yeah. You notice how they say morrow? That means tomorrow. Not Morrow Motors. For centuries, Israel was an agricultural people, depending for her sustenance on the produce of the land. Now, Pentecost was the feast of the ingathering of first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. It was also a Thanksgiving festival in which Israel expressed her dependence on God for the harvest, so that she realized where her dependency was. It was on God. You know, if God didn't send the rain, you wouldn't have a very good harvest. Isn't that right? Amen. And they also depended on God for their daily bread. Remember? Give us our trespasses, our daily bread. The Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, was a most popular holiday falling in early summer when the cloudless skies and the promised land are blue and peaceful and the weather was warm. Nice time to plan for a picnic, isn't it? And God kept it that way. Thank God. Amen. From every part of the country, Jews would go to Jerusalem to appear before their God. When the Jews were dispersed among the nations, Pentecost lost its primary character as a harvest festival and became known as the Feast of the Ingathering of the Law, or the Giving of the Law. Now, the rest of the thing I'm going to tell you, I don't have a scripture and verse for you, so I'm just telling you what rabbis have done over the years. They studied, they calculated, and their conclusion was that God gave the law and Moses on the day of Pentecost, and Pentecost is considered the birthday of Judaism. I don't know the rabbis that came up with that, so I can't really get that confirmed, but, you know, it's not really that major deal. It won't make you lose your salvation. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Don't want to keep nothing back, right? Are you there in Leviticus? Look to verse 11. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow. After the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. This signified the beginning of a new harvest or the beginning of the first fruits. You hear a lot of people on TV talk about first fruits. Now remember that term, first fruits. That's very important. We'll see how prophetic these words were to become as we look back to the new covenant, 1 Corinthians 15. Did I lose you yet? I felt Bob kept apologizing about Revelations. He wasn't going fast enough. I said, yeah, you would. You did well. I said, you got to go slow with that stuff. I was telling him, I told you before when I was going to Church of God with Pastor Mounts, we had Sunday school from 10 to 11. He taught on the book of Revelation line by line for one whole year. I said, Brother Bob, you have a lot of time. Quit hurrying. If you hurry, they'll never understand you. You got to go slow with that book. And I told him, I said, you know what? If you see they're kind of drifting away and they're backsliding, I said, make up stuff. Say the Antichrist is coming out of Hollywood or somewhere in 4 days. Do what you got to do, right? No, he wouldn't do that. I would, but he wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. 1 Corinthians 15. Did we go there yet? Okay. Look to verse 13. You're there? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. New King James makes it a little easier. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become, what church? The first fruits of them that slept. Remember first fruits. See how prophetic these words were to become. The Passover Sabbath, which is Jesus, was to rise from the dead and to become the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Now, 1,500 years had passed since God commanded his people through Moses to observe the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. Much had happened in that 1,500 years, wouldn't you say? Prophets came and went, all foretelling the coming of a Savior to redeem Israel from their sin. Let's look now to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Verse 44. And he said unto them, everybody there? These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye, say tarry, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, when I was attending a certain Pentecostal church, a Jewish friend of mine, I mean, I knew him before he got saved, and he got saved and got kicked out of his house. But he brought us, my cousin John and Judy, Michael, Uncle Petey, Bert and I used to drive up there on Sunday morning, stay up Uncle Petey's all day, then go back to church at night, and come home to Beaver Falls. We lived down on 6th Avenue then. But anyway, as great as this pastor was, they all have their traditions. Now, I know some people in this church still don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's your prerogative, because I'm not going to force it down your throat. It's not of the devil. Tongues is not of the devil. You never saw anybody stand up on a bar and give a message in tongues. And I would be careful about talking that way, because that's blasphemous nearly. If you don't know something and you want to stay a Baptist, that's fine. But he would tell us, because this is what he learned, and he took this scripture. They felt, for an order you to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that there had to be a time between being born again and the time you got the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they said you had to tarry. So during one of the Sunday school classes, I wasn't being a wise guy, maybe not really a wise guy, but I said, now, if that's the case, we have to tarry, then we all have to go to Jerusalem. It says, tarry you in Jerusalem, not Newcastle. Church, if you could get sanctified or your act cleaned up without the Holy Ghost, why even preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You understand? He is the sanctifier. It never made sense. And there I was, just not knowing anything, figured that out. I'm not saying I know that much now, but I mean, but you know what? If you wait, that builds in unbelief. Because you've already heard 49 stories against it, you know, which is ridiculous. So, praise God. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Look to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be going over to where Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he got powerful, didn't he? He preached one sermon and 3,000 people got saved. Today we have to preach 3,000 sermons for one person to get saved. I bind that in Jesus' name. We're going to Acts chapter 2, right? Yeah, that's what I really missed about you people. You're so quiet. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that is a miracle in itself. They're all in one accord. And in one place. And suddenly there came Some of you are going to experience a suddenly, because that's exactly what you need so you don't pull your hair out. Spirit of God, let me share that with you. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Look down to verse 40, please, in Acts 2. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and that's water baptism there. If you've been born again and not water baptized, I'll question you being born again. So we'll see you in hell someday. Who? You'll be too blinded to see, but that's okay. No, so here, I don't preach this as heavy as some do. But Pastor Barkley does preach that if you got born again and not water baptized, he questions the salvation of people. It's a commandment to do. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, the guy had the thief on the cross. He did. There wasn't time. There wasn't time. Now, out of your senses, if you're in a coma, which is the last sense to normally go? Hearing, sight, taste, touch? Hearing? Well, I wasn't in a coma, so I don't know. I'm just asking. I thought some of you had the answer. Think about this. This is just a throw out there. If it's hearing, then the individual is in a coma. If you spoke, they could hear you. Why do we always say, watch what you say when you go inside the room? Because they can hear you. And some of them can respond like blinking of their eyes. I know I prayed for Uncle Chris. Bob, were you there? You and your son there? I prayed a prayer for him. His face was blown out. He died the next morning. But as I was praying, he was in this coma. He had been there for days. Tears started rolling down his cheek. He heard. Now, I said all that to say, if you would explain to that person in a coma, and maybe they're not able to talk, about God's plan of redemption, and then accepted Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. And they did their best, as you explained it to them. You're the jury. I'm not judging this one. You think they'd go to heaven? Yeah. They'd be able to blink with their eye if they could agree with what you said? Okay. There's a man named Tommy Bates. He said that he went to heaven, and he was in his reception room. And there were people that knew him, went over to greet him. Now, I'm just throwing this out there. I don't tell you if you have to believe this or not. I don't read books about who died and went to heaven because this has all I want to know about heaven. But you can read the books you want to read. So this lady came over to Tommy Bates. She was a mother of a friend. It was her daughter that Tommy Bates knew. He knew the mother. He knew the daughter. Daughter was still on earth. She died, and she went to heaven. He said, when you go back, would you please tell my daughter that I forgave her for the vicious argument we had? Now, there was a time span between the daughter and the mother going on to heaven. There were some years there, okay? So when Tommy Bates went back to earth, because it wasn't time for him. I think he's still teaching and preaching. He got a hold of the daughter. They met. And he said, your mother told me to tell you that she forgave you for the argument you had. This girl started crying, the daughter. She said, it's been years now. We had this vicious argument. My mother ran into the kitchen, slammed the door, and died. And she said, for all this time, I lived in that condemnation that I literally killed her. Good God we have, huh? Now, if you want to know any more about that story, you have to contact Tommy Bates. Acts chapter 2. Something, isn't it then? Did we read any of this? Did we read 42? Did we read 40? We read 40? And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves unto this untoward generation. And they were glad to receive his word, baptized, and at the same time God added them 3,000 souls. Yeah. And they continued steadfastly into the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The church of Jesus Christ, made up of 3,000 Jews at that time and some Gentile proselytes, was born. Now we're beginning to see the meaning of the two wave loaves, the two wave loaves with leavens. I think the Jewish loaf and the Gentile loaf, and they came together. So we have the church composed of Jewish and Gentile believers purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now quickly, let's end this with Ruth, the ancestress of Jesus, okay? On the day of Pentecost, the Jews, even unto this present day, read the book of Ruth. Did you know that? This they do for two reasons. Because the book of Ruth has a rustic setting, which is Bethlehem, at harvest time. Very suitable for harvest festival, wouldn't that be? And then it also represents Ruth the Moabitess, a Gentile woman who came to know and to love the God of Naomi, the Jewess. Here you have hope and prophecy combined. They look to the day when the Jew and the Gentile shall worship God together through the kinsman redeemer, Christ, typified by Boaz. You get that? Christ, typified by Boaz. Ruth typifies the church, symbolically. And Bob, I do believe the he that's taken out, not just because of the pronoun, is the body of Christ, because the Holy Spirit will be around through the tribulation period. How will anybody get saved without the Holy Spirit's conviction? Can you note this so you want to see how much God cares and loves about people? Do you have any idea, and I know some of you do, who Boaz's mother was? Rahab the harlot. She's in the lineage of Jesus. Isn't that something? Let's listen to what Naomi, the stricken widow, says, because she speaks to Opa and to Ruth both. Go back to the book of Ruth. We'll be closing up here. Now, what did Ruth find with Boaz? Favor. Nikki said he's been having all kind of favor. He's been walking in a fog. The favor of God. He used to golf in the fog, too, but yeah, Nick's all right. I tell you, trust me, he's healed. I saw the man working. I rejoice. Book of Ruth. Anybody there yet? Okay, I'm not. Thank you. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. You ready? And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Orpah let herself be persuaded to leave her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. Remember kisser, cleaver? Then Naomi spake again. Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. My people shall be my people and my God. Verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so, if aught, but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Precious Ruth, the Gentile woman of Moab, came to be not only a child of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but ancestors of King David and his greater son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1, 1 through 16. Quickly go to Ephesians 2. Is that too fast?
No.
Tell Brother Bob to slow down. I'm trying to speed here. Jesus brought the Jews and the Gentiles together to form his body. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. See, you have God and you have hope. Isn't that great? But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near or nigh by the blood of Christ. Jump down to verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellows with saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Two loaves make up one body, body of Christ. Let's stand, and if somebody has a prayer, Brother Bob and Dean, you look like you haven't done much.